the 9th of July, and here we are with episode 10 of the Wake Up. I still don't know if I should even call it a podcast or not. Whatever. Episode 10. I want to talk about, I had an epiphany after yesterday's discussion, or the other day, whatever it was, when I spoke about that whole, the Tinder fiasco with that chick who thought she was a brilliant economist and who thought the free market hypothesis had failed and that somehow the problem with the world is evil corporates who rape and pillage not only the planet but our scarce resources and the people they subjugate who they call their customers. And I thought about this and I realized that, hey, these modern moron economists, these MMTs, unfortunately do not understand the essence of entrepreneurialism, and in fact they've never run a fucking business in their lives. You know, they're academics who've read a bunch of books, made a bunch of assumptions and hypotheses, and have created this concept that somehow these businesses and these corporates are out to get their customers, and to subjugate them and to rape and pillage the fucking planet. And it's really, really interesting to me, particularly coming from someone who's had zero real world experience. And when I say real world experience, that's going out there building something of value, in the world. These blind academics who've never done anything useful outside of, intellectual sophistry, and quote unquote reading and study, think that they have a moral high ground of sorts to mandate what the fuck is right or wrong, and who's evil and who's not. Entrepreneurs are like, and I've got a little quote here that I came up with, is entrepreneurs are like the stem cells of the economic body. And in other words, stem cells are in a biological body are the cells that can form into whatever's required for the body in that particular place, and they help rebalance the body properly, and they can form into whatever is needed by this biological system. And I think entrepreneurs are very similar in that sense. They're fucking absolutely fundamental and critical to the proper functioning of an economy and a society, because they exist to fill gaps and to produce and to clear inefficiencies. That you could call them white blood cells, maybe not, but yeah, like I think stem cells is a really good analogy for entrepreneurs. Whereas, and they're crucial. Whereas these economists, now, unless they're real logicians or grounded philosophers, who understand first principles, these modern moron economists, these MMTers, are useless leeches who try to apply mathematical models to that which you cannot model. First of all, they don't, they don't define anything. So they don't define money or economics or, these base ingredients. They create assumptions that all of this stuff is just made up in the first place. And then based on these false assumptions, they create these models which cannot, by definition, represent complex systems anyway. So they're wrong on two fronts, and they somehow think they have a moral high ground and have the ability to tell entrepreneurs and consumers, for that matter, what they should or should not do, what they can and cannot think, and what is apparently right and wrong. And therein lies a lot of the problems with society. So, this notion that somehow, free markets and capitalism, the incentives there somehow, create monopolies is the most stupid thing. And I'm going to talk about this in another video, which will be entitled, monopolies cannot occur in free markets. And I'm adamant about that. Like, you cannot create monopolies in true free markets with private property rights as their cornerstone. But I'll talk about that in another episode. But I want to take a moment here to talk about the entrepreneurial piece inside free markets and where the motivations for an entrepreneur come from, particularly in the context of, or I've got this written here is I want to take a moment to discuss capital and capitalism, what they actually mean in the context of entrepreneurial incentives in a free market whose cornerstone is private property rights. So I know that's a long sentence, but I was reading Rothbard's Libertarian Manifesto a couple months ago, and there was one real part that stuck with me was his discussion about the forests and lumber mills and deforestation, and how the mixing of private companies with public land skews the incentives and creates a situation where the incentive is to actually rape and pillage as opposed to conserve the capital or the resource itself. So, and this was really profound for me, and it just made me realize how important private property rights are and how much of a fraud public property is, and how public property is actually the basis for raping and pillaging, whether it's forests or land or rivers or any of these things. So let's talk through the example. So you've got a government who's a public entity. It's the agent of the collective, who apparently owns this forest. And what they do is they, because they think, capitalism good, privatization good. What they do is they sell a license to a bunch of private companies who are, lumber manufacturers who want to go in there and turn that forest into wood to use. So and again, there's nothing wrong with that at this point in time. Now, they realize that, the state method is pointless because if you're doing it as a state, you're not as efficient, you're not doing it, right, and it's hard to coordinate, you have problems with identifying what the pricing should be and all that sort of stuff. So they realize that doing it privately is better. But the problem they have is that it's a public organization, it's a collective agent, it's a collectivist agency, the government, issuing the license for this. So they issue the license to a couple of private companies, and they say, all right, you've got a 5-year license or a 10-year license to do your thing. Now what happens is, what is the incentive for these lumber companies when they have that license? Like, what do they want to do? What are they trying to maximize? Well, they're trying to maximize profit. I mean, that's normal. They're going to try and get the most out of that license because the capital for them is not the forest. It's not the resource. The capital for them is this license. So what they're going to do is try and maximize the value of that capital, of that license. And the way they do that is by deforesting the fuck out of that forest, like chopping down as many trees as they can so that they can make as much from that license as possible. Whereas, if we're living in a world of private property rights with no government, with no public property, where the owner, the private owner of that land, of that forest, of that area, and I don't want to go into here on how do we get to this and how does someone own the private property without someone else, like we'll do that in subsequent videos. Let's just make that assumption here for the moment. And there is a way that this is able to be done. But if that forest was private, then what would happen is you have this this owner of the forest who is going to chop down trees for lumber, do it in a way that preserves the capital. They're not gonna go and chop down all their fucking trees so they have no trees for next year. So that their whole forest burns down. Like, that's not how it works. Like, when it's your asset, when it's your capital, you don't go and rip it up, unless you're a moron, who winds up ruining himself in the process. Now look, free markets don't fix stupidity. They can't change individual morons, but the corrective mechanism in a free market that has private property rights at its root is that stupid people who do stupid things, who burn through their own capital, who burn up their asset for you know, some sort of raping and pillaging, they ruin themselves. And, you know, this natural Darwinian evolutionary sort of, movement, this convergence generally rewards the people who preserve their capital and are able to increase their productivity and efficiency to get the most out of that capital, the most out of that resource as possible. So if you want sustainability, you have the private owner making the most from that resource as possible versus having a public owner of a resource that issues licenses against it, where the incentive then is to get as much from the resource as you can to get the best game theoretical value from the license. Do you see what I'm talking about here? So, you know, this let's, we've got three categories here. You've got full public, you know, full retard, where, you know, you've got like a socialist communist system where you have no idea how much of something is needed. You have no idea even whether it's needed or not. So you're basically blind and stupid, and you're either creating way too little or way too much, and you have no idea because you have no ability to use the pricing mechanism, which the pricing mechanism is the information from all the individuals in an economy telling you naturally and organically what is needed, what is not needed, and it's this self-balancing, system that finds its own equilibrium. Okay, I can't remember what the hell the word was. So you've got that full public, full TARP, full retard. Then you have this mixture of public-private, which really ends up incentivizing raping and pillaging. Now, it's far more efficient because, you know, you get the benefit of this whole private action. And, you know, the idea is to, like, get the most you can with as little input as you can. And that's a very good element of human beings. But when applied unintelligently, when applied in the context of something like private property, you get a situation where you end up raping and pillaging the resource, which is really dangerous because now you've got the strongest force, which is human innovation. Innovation increasing productivity and increasing yield. You apply that to something where you've got a public good, you know, where you can have the existence of the tragedy of the commons, holy shit, you've just destroyed the resource. Whereas if we go to private property rights, where the capital, this is what I mean by capitalist system, this is what is meant by capitalist system, is that when the resource is the asset that is privately owned by the person who's making production or producing revenue, income, profit, whatever it is, from that asset, they start to treat it like they're an asset. They want longevity. They want to maximize the capital because that is the incentive. So then you actually drive that most important, that most powerful human tendency of innovation, of the desire for more yield, of greed, whatever you want to call it, you drive it to a positive outcome. And this is what entrepreneurs do. And this is what I think these dumbass economists don't understand, is that, or at least these modern economists don't understand, is that they think somehow, number one, they've misinterpreted what free markets mean. So they think free markets are like fucking America or the UK or Australia or something, which, you know, governments, you know, give you the notion of being free, and it's these halfway fucking things which, you know, encourage raping and pillaging. And then, you know, if you're big enough, you get too big to fail. So that way there's no natural capitalist free market self-correcting mechanism, which is if you fuck up, you die. That's what a natural system does, versus these public-private mashups, which end up privatizing gains and then socializing all the losses. Therein lies the problem, stupid. So you know, that self-correcting mechanism that exists in a free market where entrepreneurs, these stem cells of the economic body, are encouraged to do more with less, to produce more, to add more value, to lengthen the life of the resource, to allocate what is scarce in the most efficient, functional way possible. That right there is the forcing function of good entrepreneurialism, of prosperity in a society. And the self-correcting mechanism in a free market for entrepreneurs is doing the right thing and getting that product market fit. Again, this is why these economists who've never fucking been in a business before, these moron academics who've never actually built anything of value, they won't know notions like what is product market fit, what is customer interviews, what is building a product that your market, your target demographic actually needs. Like, you know, I've gone and done that stuff now for a decade, so I can speak from experience. You know, now that I'm building Amber, you know, we're going out and we're interviewing hundreds of customers to identify what it is that our people want, our customers want, so that we can serve them in the best possible way. This is the desire of the entrepreneur. And yes, his motivation is, you know, to an extent, this financial scorecard, you know, this ability, because what that tells you, you know, profit and to a smaller degree revenue, tells you that what you're doing is actually adding value to society. If you take that mechanism out, you don't know if you're adding value to society. You know, if you're fucking just burning through resources that are scarce for no reason. And this is, again, where these economists don't get it. So when you... I'll touch on where I'm going here is, she mentioned that, oh, do businesses know what's right or wrong? And I said, no, businesses don't, but neither do fucking governments. And individuals barely know what's right or wrong. But the market as this decentralized, organic system, which finds its own equilibrium through the individual actions of every participant, seems to find what is right by itself. It doesn't do that by some decree or by some hand of God. And what happens is, along the way, through trial and error, through innovation, through questioning, through inventing things, you have these entrepreneurs who are in some ways successful. You know, they end up delivering something that adds value, that progresses human beings forward, whereas others build something that, you know, flops. That, you know, it could be flops because it's just useless, could be flops because it's too early, could be flops because they don't give a shit really about it, so they don't have the perseverance and all that sort of stuff. But that entrepreneurialism is the driver for progress. And in no way does it help to allow a monopoly in the form of a government or a pack of bureaucrats to decide what the fuck is right or wrong for entrepreneurs to do. Get the hell out of the way. Allow people, you know, with private property to, and this is why I think the internet's been so so extraordinarily powerful, because, you know, the monopolistic governments and central planners of the world haven't been able to, you know, quarantine off a jurisdiction or cordon off a jurisdiction and, you know, define what is right or wrong on that. Although to an extent, you know, we've seen a lot of censorship in the internet, etc., and that's a different conversation. But anyway, the self-correcting mechanism that a free market organically includes, and which moron monetary economists, you know, think that they have the right to somehow, you know, dictate or decree, is, you know, this dynamic failure and success along the way, which nobody really, really knows what the outcome is going to be. And this is the beauty of startups. This is the beauty of venture capital. This is the beauty of risk. This is the beauty of investment. This is the beauty of the organic driver for progress for human beings. And like I said, if it's all public, you throw all of that out. So that's a dumbest system. If it's public matched with private, you get these incredibly powerful incentives, but you layer them on top of something which constitutes a tragedy of the commons, and you then burn up all your precious resources, versus going full private, where the resource is respected and it's used and it's maximized because it's part of your capital. That is the definition of capitalism. And this is something that these, you know, academic sophist economists don't seem to understand, because they've had their fucking heads buried in books that, first of all, don't define anything properly, and second of all, build erroneous mathematical models based on a bunch of stupid assumptions and apply them to complex systems in which the assumptions fall over after a first or second order effect. It's like, it's complete madness. It's complete blindness. So, yeah, I'll finish up here. You cannot have capitalism with public property or central planning. That's why the modern form of, you know, crony capitalism has failed. When you mix up the incentives, you screw it all up. It devolves into madness. The cancer that is collectivism will eat up the organic structure that is capitalism as soon as you allow it to creep in. You know, and you need a mechanism to take power away from the state, and that's why something like Bitcoin fixes this. Now, I'll again leave this for a subsequent video, because I've gone for 20 minutes now already, but I think it's really important to understand, you know, why entrepreneurialism is such a driving force, why it's so important in all free market economies, even in non-free market economies. I mean, the only reason you know, places like the West have managed to succeed to this extent is that there is still some semblance of, you know, the driver to innovate in a private capacity. We have just seen the problems of blending that, you know, in a public system that suffers from the tragedy of the commons, and we're suffering the ramifications of that now, which is really unfortunate. So, I hope that nuance helps, and I hope that particularly if you're studying economics, like it is, I think it is pointless to study economics without having some sort of rooting in the entrepreneurial journey, the entrepreneurial mindset, and the challenges and the incentives and the motivations and the drivers of what it means to be an entrepreneur, of what it means to create something from nothing, of what it means to fail along the way consistently, but, you know, iterate and find where that product market fit is. Like, there's such important concepts that these textbook sophist, you know, moron modern theorists, economic theorists, don't seem to either have the mental fortitude or the, you know, the desire to actually learn about. They just want to be lazy enough to read a fucking couple books at a, you know, university that teaches rote learning and regurgitation instead of critical thinking. So thank you again for listening, guys. Subscribe. If you enjoyed this episode, share it around. Jump on my Twitter, follow me there. And I've got a bunch of other episodes coming up. Some really juicy stuff that I want to talk about. I think we're starting to get the hang of this here. So thank you again. See you around.